Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change in not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually, and as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
That's a testimony within itself. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, listen, I wouldn't be able to stand before you today. Amen. How many of you can attest to that? That if it had not been for him, I just wouldn't have made it, y'all. I wouldn't have made it. You would have never known that there was a LaShawn. Amen. Because it was him and his love that kept me. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your loving kindness. God, I ask that you would have your way on this beautiful morning. Thank you for all those that are in attendance. Thank you just for who you are in our lives. Thank you for how you've kept us, Lord God, down through the years and how you continue to keep us. Now, Lord God, have your way as I minister your word to your people. And I thank you, God, for who you are in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You all may be seated. Thank the Lord for his presence on this morning. Thank the Lord for all of you. And thank the Lord for that, for you all reaching back to get that song. Amen. I don't know about you all, but I get excited when I hear songs that we used to sing back in the day. I've told you before, all music, I mean, I love the new age, the new worship and what they do. But when you go all the way back and get those songs that meant something, because they weren't just singing just to be singing. They weren't just singing to be seen. Amen. But they were singing because they knew what it meant. Amen. It represented something. Amen. That they had gone through. So I thank the Lord for him. Is the fan on? Because, you know, it's just keep blowing my stuff. It's the flint. Amen. The heater. Okay, what is going on here now? Amen. You all just bear with me. I thank the Lord this morning. You know how you just can't get it together. I was trying to get it together, y'all, this morning. It just looked like everything that I was trying to do, I just couldn't get it together, Sharon. I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw this sweater on with this skirt. Listen. And it's going to be what it's going to be because I don't even care today. I'm on assignment because the sweater I was going to wear, Jovelsa, wasn't working right. And you know what I said? Whatever, because I am on assignment on this morning, so I really don't care at this point because I got something I need to say. You know, we are in a time of fasting, and so our meditation scriptures on this week, or I should say our topic, was dealing with being predestined. And so that in of itself is just a word that sometimes you just need to meditate on. You need to think about. You need to take that thing in. Amen. Because you need to recognize that what you do, what you're doing today, or what you may be doing on your job, or what you may be to someone in your life, that's not all cracked up about who you are. That's not the totality of what God has called you to do. You may do well on your job. You may be a great wife or a great husband. You may be a great sister, a great friend. But that does not equate all of who you are and what God has called you to be. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, there is more. Amen. We're going to go and we're going to do a bit of reading. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, one of my favorite scriptures. Amen. And I will read in your hearing. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amnon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, but thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command me, that shalt thou speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem. And against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and burned, who have burned incense unto other gods, and worship the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up the loins and arise, speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and a brazen wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Amen. Thank the Lord for his word. Jeremiah was one of those prophets that were not popular. He was not popular at all. As a matter of fact, he had a tall assignment because he had to tell Judah and the inhabitants of Israel how they were really acting. You know, people don't like you to tell the truth. They only want the truth to a certain degree. But Jeremiah's assignment was to let them know that you have forsaken God and that you are worshiping idols and you have turned your heart completely against me. And God wanted to use Jeremiah to communicate this to his people. Now, Jeremiah was young. The scripture said he was a young man. He was a boy, at least he thought. But how many of you know that it doesn't matter where you are, how old you are, if God calls you to do a thing, you need to go up out and be doing that thing. Amen. It doesn't matter how you see yourself. It only matters what God has called you to do. Did they like him? No. Did they want to hear him? No. Did they kill off other prophets? Yes. Were people doing their own thing just like today? Yes, they were. But God commissioned Jeremiah to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it didn't matter how he looked at himself or how others looked at him. He did it because God told him to do it. Amen. In verse 5, I want to read to you, and really I read all of that to give you the background of what Jeremiah was dealing with. His assignment was so tall, him being this young man and having to communicate this thing to leadership and communicate this thing to those that were in Judah was a tall assignment. This is why he told them, don't even look at their faces. When you go before them and you say what needs to be said, make their face a blur. Because how many of you know that the enemy will use people's faces? But I have come to tell you that he can't do it against me. Because I'll look you right in the face just like Jeremiah did and do the assignment. My focus is verse 5. Verse 5 in Jeremiah is a message within itself. I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." The word "new" in the Hebrew means to have understanding, to be acquainted with. You were yet to be formed, but I was already thinking about my assignment in regards to you. You were not even an embryo. The sperm had not even connected with the seed, yet my mind was on you. You had not even met the man that you were going to connect with, or that your mother was going to connect it with, yet my mind was already on what I have intended for you to do. We're talking about a God that is so intimately involved with us that he's thinking about us before we get into time. He said, "But what I want you to understand, Jeremiah, is that you were born for this very thing. I chose you for this purpose before the foundation of the world. You're just catching up to what I've already planned." See, when we find out that we've been called to a certain thing, this thing was already written in the books. God's plan for our lives was already in existence before we got here. We're the one just finding out how serious it is, how important it is, and what we are commissioned to do. As Exodus 1 and 11 reads like this. It says, "In him we also were made God's heritage, portion, and we obtained an inheritance, for we had been foreordained, chosen, and appointed beforehand in accordance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will." Amen. The word "counsel" here doesn't mean that he conferred with someone. He didn't have to confer with anyone about the assignment that's on your life. This is why you can't go around asking people, "Do you think I'm called? How do you feel? The pastor told me he sees something on my life. How do you feel about it?" You don't need to go get nobody's opinion about what God has called you to do. Yes, go to the man of God to confirm it. Amen. Go to the man of God to seek counsel. But what I'm saying to you is, when God places you in a place and you know that your heart is for him, you don't need to go and ask the audience, regular folk, what they think about it. Because what they think about it is not important. How they view you is not important. Go to the man of God. Go to the woman of God. Tell them to speak some things into your life, some confirming things, some things that you heard. Help mix with them, but keep the audience out of it. Because there are people that are out there that will say, "I don't see this on your life. I don't see that on your life." It ain't up to them. Because they're looking from a different mindset. It ain't up to them because they got a carnal mind. It ain't up to them because they see fleshly stuff. They see what you used to be. They don't see what you're going to be. Let that settle with you. So the word "counsel" here doesn't mean he conferred with someone. But what he did was he considered his own will. And through the counsel of him being the Almighty God, with infinite wisdom and understanding, he chose an instrument out of his toolbox. This is what God did. Now, mind you, Jeremiah, speaking about Jeremiah, the instrument was not here in time. Jeremiah wasn't here when this was decided. He wasn't in existence. But he chose Jeremiah before time began, for the purpose of his will. Ladies and gentlemen, God has chosen you before time. He has already constructed what you would be and what you would do and what it would take to get you from point A to point B. He's not figuring this thing out along the way. God has already commissioned your footsteps. Amen. A couple points for consideration. Number one, an instrument does not control itself. Instruments are made to be used for something. And so you don't see a saw or a hammer just walking about doing things by itself. But the tool, the instrument, has to be in the hand of an individual who is skillful to use it. If I saw a pair of pliers walking around, I'd be like, y'all better get out of here, because that's not supposed to look like that. Amen? So an instrument does not control itself. God told Jeremiah, speak what I tell you to speak. Because after all, you are my instrument. You are my mouthpiece. You are my prophet. So don't add anything to it, but speak what I tell you to speak. Because an instrument is not in control. It is a tool to get things done. See, I don't know about the preachers of today, the preachers of Hollywood, the people that just want to be seen, the people that call you out just to give you a word, something, they done looked up something about you and trying to make it seem like it's deep. I don't know about that type of prophecy. I don't know about that type of pastor. But the pastors that I know, the pastors that raised me, were tools in the master's hand. So no matter what they had to say, they said it. And no matter what they had to do, they did it, because they were not their own. Amen. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Amen. So although we have been chosen before time, our sole intent should be to do our assignment the way that he has instructed for us to do it. He didn't tell you to go out there and get a crowd. He didn't tell you to draw men because it's all about you. But everything that we have been given to do is for the glory and the purpose of the Almighty God. Amen. That means that we must stay connected to him through prayer, through his word, and through worship. If you are connected in those ways, there is no way that you can go wrong. You can't get off path if you're connected. Can't nobody pull you out of your square if you're connected. If you're doing those things and you have given your heart wholeheartedly to the Lord, there is no way that the enemy can penetrate this force that you've created. Amen. These things have been given to us to make us strong for our assignment. You see, if Jeremiah had not been totally devoted to the Lord, when he got the snares and the looks, when he got threatened because he wasn't liked, his life was always threatened. He was always talked about. He was always mistreated because of the words that he had to speak. And so if you're going to do anything for God, you've got to be built up for this thing. You've got to be strengthened for this thing. You can't stand on your own two feet and do what God has called you to do, but you need prayer. You need worship. You need the word. You need that, because you need to be built up and fortified, because there's a force that's coming against you. Everybody ain't gonna believe that you're called, and everybody ain't gonna like you because you're called. But if you are built up, your back straight, your feet planted, your breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, they can come at you, but you won't fall, because you have been fortified. This is why he told Jeremiah, keep your eyes stayed on me. Don't look to the left and don't look to the right. Keep your eyes and your attention and your focus on me, lest I confound you and allow you to be fearful in front of them. This is the way that we have to do our assignment in this day. We're living in a time where people don't want to hear what you got to say. We're living in a time where people don't believe what you have to say. And so in order to deliver, you've got to be ready to stand flat-footed and be able to say what God has given you to say, no matter if they like it or if they don't. You may not be my friend after the day, and I'm okay with it. You may even be a family member and decide to cut me off after today, but I'm still going to be okay about it. Because come hell or high water, I'm still going to do the assignment that's on my life. This is what I've been born to do. And when I fail to do the assignment that God has called me to do, then I might as well die, because I was created to do this thing. His mind was on me before I stepped into time. So if I'm going to stop doing what he called me to do, I might as well fall away. I might as well go to the dust. Because I'm not just called to be a mother. I'm not just called to be a wife. I'm not just called to be a business owner. I'm not just called to be a church member. I'm called to do the will of the one who sent me. I got a purpose on my life. I've been predestined before the foundations of the world. And I need to be about my father's business. Just in case he decides to take me up out of here in the next hour, I want to be found doing what I was supposed to do. Whether anybody liked it, will anybody agree with it? I want to be found doing the will of him who sent me. Because this is the purpose. This is the predestined assignment on my life. This is the vision that he had for LaShawn Dallas before the foundations of the world. This is what is written in the book about me. This is what he said about me. When he called me by name, this is what he chose me to be. Before my mom and daddy got together, he said, I'm calling you to be a preacher. Before my mom and my daddy got together, he said, I'm calling you to tell the truth. I'm calling you to stand like a brazen wall, whether they like it or they don't. Stand therefore with your loins girded about with truth, with the blessed breath of righteousness, doing the will of him that sent you. Come on and clap your hands and give God some praise. Because if I leave up out of here in the next hour, I've already repented and said, God, fix my heart and help me to do what I have been commissioned to do. People are getting out of here because they're ignoring God. People are dying because they forgot the assignment. This is what you've been commissioned to do. This is why you were born. So you gonna ignore me? You got other stuff to do? The devil is a liar. Get your hips back in order and do what God has said to do. Because if you go out of here in the next hour, you better be found doing. Be found doing. The instrument can only be useful if it's in the right hands. It can only be useful if it's in the right hands. We were created for the hand of God. We are the clay. He is the potter. We are meant to fit in his hand. We're not sent here to do our own thing, but we were created to do his thing. What is his thing? His will, his way, and his purpose concerning you. We're the tool that just fits. When Pastor Rod, you know, he has tools that he uses in the garage, and you know, when I try to touch that stuff, I jack it up every time. I was trying to redo a cabinet, tore that whole cabinet up. D-Paul tore that whole cabinet. Because see, the tool wasn't designed for my hand. The tool was too big, Chrissy, for my hand. Tore that whole cabinet up because I wasn't commissioned. Listen, I'm soft like lace. I was not created. I'm a woman. I I was not created for construction. I got a purpose. I like lilies and I like that. Come on now. I wasn't created to do construction. I buy nice things. I don't create. Unless you talk about clothes, shoes, hair. So I told this thing up because he knew how to work the two. This is why you need to be up under godly leadership. Because a pastor that loves you like a pastor is supposed to love you will help to shape you the right way. If you don't run because you're being corrected, you'll be shaped and fit for the master's use. But it takes a skillful pastor to be able to work on you. It takes a skillful pastor to know what to give you to help you grow and to extend you and to help you to rightly divide the word of truth. But if you run and you run to somebody who's not skillful, they'll mishandle you and they'll put their nasty hands all over you because you're not in the right hands. This is why God tells us to pray without ceasing. And you may not like everything that's said, but the hands that are touching you are skillful because they're not touching you in a lustful manner, trying to get something out of you. They're touching you with the hand of God because they love you. The tool is only purposeful if it's in the right hand. Our purpose and why we were born resides in him. He has the secret. You've been running to and fro and you've been trying to figure this thing out. What was I supposed to do here? You've gotten to a certain age. What am I supposed to do? God, what do you have planned for me? The secret lies with him. You get into his face, you'll get the secret. You stay out of his face, you'll be forever in the dark. Because you'll start finding things. You'll start looking for things, fleshly things. If I get a man, I'll feel better. If I get a little sum, I'll feel better. If I get a new job, I'll feel better. If I do this or if I do that, I feel better. But nothing and no one can do you like Jesus. He is the one that can scratch the itch. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. You can look to, you can look fro, but nobody is going to be able to figure you out and cause you to be stable like him. Cause your mind to think right, but him. Cause you to be emotionally stable, but him. Cause you to be right, but him. Cause you to be righteous and to be holy, but him. Nobody can do it like him. I don't care how hurt I am, Pastor Rock can soothe me, but it's when I get in the face of the master that my heart is fixed. And that every crooked thing is made straight. When I spend time with him, he knows how to do what I need done. And until you get there, you'll be forever hurt. You'll be forever taking medication. You'll be forever trying to soothe things with a drug. You'll be forever sleeping with somebody. You'll be forever looking for something because your confidence and your trust and your joy needs to be found in the master. The plan that he has for our life, this isn't something new, but it was established before the world began. This is what makes it so good about him. People claim they know you, but you really don't. But he knows me, and he knows what I need to get me to point A and then to point B. The second point I want to make, the Bible doesn't say what Jeremiah went through or how he was developed for the place he was called to. All it said was he was a young boy. So we thinking, you didn't go through much. But I do know this, that God will take what you experienced in one season of your life and use it for his glory in another season. I do know this. He will shape you through every experience and every circumstance that you have been through. Everything that has happened to you, God knows how to use it and get the glory. Amen. In verse 5 of Jeremiah 1, the word sanctified in the Hebrew language has several meanings. I'm only going to do about two here, okay? The word prepare was listed, and it means to make someone ready or able to do or deal with something. This is under sanctified in the Hebrew. God would allow you to have experiences, some good, some bad, and some ugly. And he will use them as a source to sharpen and refine you. You mad about it, but God says, I'm using it. Did those experiences hurt? Yes, they did. Did they make you cry? They certainly did. Were you mistreated? Yes, you were. Did they lie on you? They did. And some. But the Bible says in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So although we went through the fire, it didn't kill us. But he worked it. And he used it for his glory. Look at your neighbor and say, for his glory. And in the process of going through everything that you have experienced, he conformed us to the image of his son, and he's still doing it. See, you mad about it, but God is using it. You tired of it, but God is using it. You wishing death on folks, but God is pouring life into you by what he's using to sharpen. Let that settle with you for a minute. Because you madder than 2 5-legged dogs. You mad. And you cussing. You drinking a little too much. You doing whatever you want to do. Because you mad. Because you keep looking at how you're being treated and all these experiences that you are going through, not recognizing that these are tools that God is using to sharpen his instrument. You know, a razor, you know, I'll even go step because I don't even use a razor. I use clippers or trimmers on my hair. So I have to be careful that they don't go dull. And so when I'm finished using them, Chrissy, I clean them, I brush them off, I clean them, and then I oil them. Those are things that I use to make sure, Helen, that my tool is useful when I get ready to use it. Your experiences are sharpening you and refining you so that when you are ready to be used, you'll be prepared for the using. God's not going to have you out there doing stuff without any experience. He's not calling novices, but he's calling folks that have been in the valley. He's calling folks that have been misunderstood. He's calling folks that have been lied on and mistreated. He's calling folks that have been through something. He's calling folks that have cried in the midnight hour. He's calling folks that almost lost their mind. He's calling folks that have been through some fire, but they didn't get burned. Because he's used every circumstance and every situation that you have been into to sharpen you. Your job is to find out, God, what is the lesson in the assignment? Or what is the lesson in my experience? That's your part. What do you want me to learn from this? We wouldn't be better if the heat wasn't a part of the process. You all know that if God didn't apply heat, you would never pray. Your tail would be up on a high mountain. If God didn't touch your finances, you would never pray. If God didn't touch your household, you would never pray. Some of us would just be floating around, doing whatever. But it's the heat that causes us to get on our knees and pray. It is the heat that pushes us to seek God. It is the heat that pushes you into your prayer closet. It is the heat that makes you call out before Him and plead the blood of Jesus. It is the heat that you under and the pressure that you're under that causes you to get in His face and to ask, God, have your way. Whatever I'm doing wrong, show me so I can do it right. It is the heat and the pressure. Because if God didn't apply the heat, we take it for granted. Another word that was used for sanctify was purify. The meaning in Hebrew for this word means to remove contaminants. This deals with the flesh. There are behaviors, and I'm not going to make you shout but a tiny bit. But these are behaviors, meaning the way you act and how we conduct ourselves, the way we treat people and the stuff that we do. This is what He's dealing with in this hour. What are you doing behind closed doors? What are you saying and how are you treating people? How do you treat the person at the door, the usher? How do you treat the people in the restaurant that serve you? How are you acting when ain't nobody looking? How do you treat your husband and how you treat your wife? How do you talk to your children? God is getting into all the stuff that make up you, and He's telling us, pull some of that garbage out so you can live right. Some of the things that we do serve as contaminants to who God is calling us to be. The way we act and how we do what we do is contaminating what God wants to do. When I think of the word contaminant, I think of pollution. What does pollution do? If not checked, it will kill you. If not checked, it becomes dangerous for living. So through God's infinite wisdom, He will use what is necessary to remove the contaminants. Whatever tool He decides to use. Because it will affect what He has designed for us to be. He can't let us keep walking around being foolish, proud, and He got to do something about our high-mindedness. He got to do something about the arrogance that's polluting us and polluting others. He got to do something with this mouth that runs like a train. He got to do something with this body that I just keep laying out the way I want. He got to do something with this. He cannot allow me to continue to be a contaminant and contaminate other people around me. He got to do something. Again, there are other words that describe sanctify. Take your time, look it up in the Hebrew. You'll be amazed. We know it's set apart, but it's other stuff involved. Amen. I'm about to go because I know I done stepped on you a little bit. So in closing, I stepped on me too. So listen, we in this together. God knows the process that it will take to get us to that predestined place. And the process, though it may be hard, guess what? It's not all about us. The process of where you're going, it's not just about you, Tiff. It hurt, but it's not just about you. It's uncomfortable, but it's not just about you. But it's for the purpose and the plan of God. You may say, why am I constantly experiencing the same thing over and over again? I need to ask you, did you learn the lesson? God is trying to sharpen you But you keep rejecting the tools that he's using. And so he can't sharpen you so that you can be useful. You may not see the benefit, but you will function more efficiently later if you let him put his hands on you. And it won't be for your glory, but it will be for his glory. Because at the end of the day, he's trying to get the good out of you, that predestined peace. Amen. Come on, stand with me. Life in this season that we're in has presented so many challenges. I don't know about you, but when God gave me this word, it actually challenged me. Because are we doing everything that we have been called to do, or are we just going about doing our own thing? Have we forgotten the purpose that God has shared with us? Some of us, it's not that we don't know. If we act like we don't know, we lying. Have we forgotten why he called us? Have we forgotten that that in prayer he has already spoken over you and told you who you were? More than that, for some of us, our pastor has told you what he's seen on your life. But instead of us moving forward, we have stepped back like Israel. And we have made everything else important. Everything else is more important than God. Everything else has become more important than the purpose that he has called us to be in. It was him that thought about us before the foundations of the world. He didn't have to think about us. It is an honor and a pleasure to be used by him. He didn't have to use us. There were millions of sperm cells that was trying to get through. But you made it. And when he saw you, he said, Chrissy, this is what I've called you to be. This is your purpose for being here. We have let this pandemic make us take a step back. And we are making excuses instead of getting into position and doing what God has commissioned us to do. We are making excuses, church. We sitting up lying to ourselves, talking about we scared when we are flying places. We at every restaurant. We doing everything that we want to do. Yet when it comes to God, he has to take a back seat. Oh, house of Israel. Oh, house of Judah. Jeremiah has come to sound the alarm. Jeremiah has come to tell you to get yourselves in order. Jeremiah has come. You know what happened to Judah? They were carried away into Babylon. They were carried away. What is God allowing us to be carried away in this hour? You can't get your house together because you're carried away. You losing job after job because you are carried away. Church, God is saying, get yourself in order. I'm coming back. I am coming back. And I'm coming back and I'm starting at the house. I'm starting at the house. Stop taking me for granted. Stop acting like you don't know. Get in attendance. When they call your name, raise it. Raise your hand when they call your name. Be in attendance. And stop making excuses. Stop saying you don't understand. You lie. You understand everything else. You know how to do everything else. But when it comes to the things of God, we act like we don't know. We act clueless. We act so clueless. And you know what that is? That's rebellion. That's rebellion. God is saying, get up. Not just get up, but rise up in your spirit and hear what I'm saying to you and take it serious, because I'm coming. And when I come, I want to find you doing what I have created you to do. Because if you're not interested with what I have created you to do, you might as well go with the rest of them. And we'll check off another one that died in 2022. And we'll check off another one that died in 2022. We'll just keep checking them off. But I don't know about you, but if he come in the next hour, I at least, Chrissy, and these 45 minutes that I have been standing here, I will be able to say I was here. I was in attendance. And I did. No matter how I felt about it, Sharon, no matter how I thought or what I thought others were going to think, I'm here. No matter who's here, I'm here. No matter who's functioning, I'm here doing my part. Amen. We're going to pray, and we all standing together in this. And I don't know about you, but take a moment to repent. I'm repenting. Because I'm busy. I'm too busy. Take a moment. Let's just, D, you can keep playing, but let's just, you say what you need to say to him for a moment. I thank you. God, we stand before you. God, we repent for not taking our assignment seriously. God, we repent for just making excuses. We repent for just acting like we don't know, or acting like we don't care, or just saying, you know, they doing it, so why can't I? We surrender ourselves to you this afternoon, and we just say, have your way. We want to be found doing what we have been created to do. Just like Jeremiah, God, we turn our face toward you so that we can stand in this last and evil day. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to give you our whole heart and stop giving everything else our attention. But help us to give you our whole heart. Touch our minds, Lord Jesus. And help us to get in step with what you are saying. And I thank you for those that are here, God. We're here because we love you. But God, you know what needs to be done in us. And so even now, God, have your way. We lay it on the altar on this morning. Whatever we have put in front of you, whatever we have done, and whatever we've made an idol out of, we give it back to you. And we just ask, Lord God, that you would just change our hearts and change our minds, that we would serve you, Lord God, wholeheartedly. We can't do anything without you. And so today, God, we lay ourselves on the altar and we say, have your way. Make every crooked thing in our lives straight. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this opportunity to get it right. Now, Lord God, bless these your people. Strengthen us in the coming days. I'm not sure why you have revealed all of this to me, but strengthen us for what's to come. Strengthen us, God, that we may stand. And I thank you for the love that you have for us, that you would prepare your people, and that you would remove every contaminant. And we bless you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and clap your hands and give God some praise. Are we live or where are we? Are we live or did we go down? Brain of the day, are we live? Are we live, Lauren? Okay. I don't know where you all are here, if you're saved or if you're rededicating your life. This is a great opportunity to do it if you need to do that. I know all of you are saved, but if you need more, let us know. If you need to be prayed for, raise your hand. If you've fallen backward, raise your hand. And we can touch and agree with you. Amen. Amen. We're going to get ready to go. Thank the Lord for his presence. Amen. Thank the Lord for all of you. Thank the Lord for Pastor Rod and Tamar trying to get our visuals together. Amen. But it's all right. We're not even going to spend a lot. Right. We're not going to worry about it. But we're just going to get ready to get out of here. Stretch across the aisle. You know what? I know we can't. I'm sorry, y'all. I know we ain't supposed to be touching. I forgot. I'm so sorry. I know we ain't supposed to be touching. But get some hand sanitizer, amen? Because I want to touch.
Amen. How many of you all enjoyed that word today? Amen. Amen. I want to just give you something that, you know, what we're doing. We are working on our social media and also all of our mediums to be able to stream live and to broadcast what's going on in the church. So what we need you guys to do is to begin to utilize social media. That means go onto Facebook and like your church. Go on to Instagram and like your church. Go on to Twitter and like us. YouTube, like us. We are out there on social media. TikTok also. Go out there and we're utilizing social. I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm not a techie, but I'm a business person. Business people like when there are problems to find the solution. So we are focused on results. This generation that we're after, they are a social media generation, right? Unfortunately, you're not going to have a lot of people that's going to come out from where they are to come into church. A lot of people don't even go into malls or anything anymore. They don't go out to restaurants. Some of them don't. They use Grubhub, right? And a lot of them stay in the house and, you know, they become recluse and they play PS5, right? That's what a lot of them are doing, right? But we can utilize social media. I saw a pastor that said social media is not good and we shouldn't use it. We need to come into the house of the Lord. Yes, we do. How and ever, there is an issue that needs to be addressed. And I believe when the Bible says that he who wins souls is wise, I believe it's talking about being able to speak to the generation through the mediums or through whatever device it is that they're using. You know, older folk use the newspaper. So if you wanted information to be known, you put it on the newspaper. When we were coming up, we used AM, FM radio. So when you wanted to broadcast your church, you would go on AM 13, 40, 14, 40, or 1500, and that would be the drawing card for people. But people aren't listening to that. They're streaming live and they're utilizing social media, watch this, as their information source. So if the world knows enough to adjust to be able to use social media to grab people and to get the word out, I don't want to be on the back burner, right? We need to be in the forefront, reaching them where they are. Now watch this. Let them catch us on social media, but the Holy Spirit will catch them, and we still need to be here when they come.
Come on, somebody. It's got to work hand in hand, right? We've got to utilize the totality of this cranium that God has given us to be able to use. So tell your neighbor, I'm going to use my mind. This is what God has given us to do. Amen. Amen. So we've got to be able to do this. Lauren and Tamal are going to be working along with our social media, all of our e-church activity, our technical aspect of True Gospel. So there are many things that's going to be coming as a result of this. Amen. So you're predestined to do a work. That work might not be how you thought it was going to be. Right? So we need to be open to hear God and to watch God work how he wants to. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to be done because I know it's time to go. Apostle Robert Hill told me, you're going to pastor a much different church than what your father pastored. And through all of these things that we're facing, I'm learning this is different than what Pastor Larry did. Pastor Larry never had to worry about social media and trying to stream a service, right? We don't know who's out there, but what I do know is every week, and Lauren is a witness, there are people who are signing up to be a part of our Facebook church every week, right? They may not be here, they may watch. And the good thing is they can watch the service any day of the week. Right? And this is what they're utilizing. So we have to be in a place where we prepare, because there are hearts and souls out there that still need to be ministered to. Amen. And God is going to give us wisdom to be able to get this done. Amen. Amen. Join hands with somebody. Amen. Let's not forget Tuesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. on Zoom. Amen. And then also we are still using our digital giving. Amen. You can give through Facebook. I'm not through Facebook, but Cash App, or you can give on our website. Amen. Amen. We will still accept cash too. Amen. Bills still got to be paid. Thank God it is a little warm in here now. Amen. Thank God for that. Father, we thank you for all that we have heard and seen and experienced on today. We thank you right now, God, for the outpouring of your Spirit. I thank you, oh God, for your woman servant and the way that you used her to bring forth the word on today, reminding us that we are predestined for a work. Even before we were formed, you already had the work in mind for us. So, Father, as we've come in this place to worship, we're leaving to serve and to do that which we have been predestined to do. We thank you for giving us the mind and the will. We thank you for giving us the desire and the want to do of your pleasure, to fulfill that which you have already purposed for our lives. Now, Father, take us from this place and help us to arrive to our destinations safe, oh God, free from incidents and accidents, and we'll always be careful to give you the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. We love you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.